Hey, welcome to Common Culture, the radio show without music. And the radio show that continues to champion the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station.
Thanks to us.
Thanks to us. And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I'm Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And like we do every week, Chris and I bring it. We bring you the stuff.
Stuff.
We bring you all the news.
That's fit to print.
That's fit to print.
Yep.
And fit to speak of. And we're going to spend the next hour talking comics, talking pop culture of comics, talking...
Everything comics.
Everything comics.
Everything comics.
All right. Well, like, boo. And like we like to do every week, we start the show with Chris's New This Week segment.
All right. And wait, do we have a sponsor for New This Week?
We sure do. New This Week is brought to us by returning sponsor Sapporo Club Soda. It's the club soda of the Far East. And it's well worth the drive.
It is a very good club soda.
It is a very worth club soda. All right, Chris, what do you got for for us this week?
Well, you know, it was the week after Free Comic Book Day. So
yes.
And we want to talk about that later on the
show.
Yes,
we do.
But you know what? There's not a whole lot to talk about. There doesn't seem like there's much going on. But I got a few little...
Is it like they blew their wad before Free Comic Book
Day? It seems like that. Yeah, it seems like that. But you know what? There's a few little gems here we'll talk about. The first one I want to talk about is the beginning of Batman and the Outsiders again. So
you talk about that. I'm going to sip my Sapporo Club.
Okay,
soda
so
right
basically,
now.
Batman and the Outsiders is that series that ran in the 1980s. And they've now decided to go back and revamp it. So it's sort of like Batman has his own team of superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Now the old one had a crazy cast of heroes. This one doesn't seem to be quite so crazy. It's got, of course, Batman, Signal,
Signal.
Yes. There's a character called Signal.
Oh.
As in like the Bat Signal. So he's all yellow.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Did
so,
not know that.
Yeah, so
is that a new character?
Relatively new, within the past few years, I'd say.
Right.
So Signal, and what else have we got? We've got what's his name? Black Lightning and Katana. There's lots of cool characters in it. It's like a reboot of the old series again. So yeah,
all
Batman
right
and the Outsiders.
Well, listen, Chris, at DC, if there's one thing that's working, it's Batman.
Yes, for sure.
So why not go to the well one more time?
Might as well, right?
With Batman and the Outsiders number one at your local comic book shop today.
All right, next up we've got Wonder Twins. Wonder Twins number four. Now,
Wonder
this,
Twins.
This is that from that line of comics within the DC universe called Wonder Comics, which is meant to be more of a more aimed at an all ages kind of group.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe not entirely all ages, but it's meant to be a little bit younger kind of thing, a little
mm-hmm
younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it stars the characters from the old Super Friends cartoon, the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina, and of course their monkey Gleep. So it's still going strong. Lots of cool stuff. A lot of people are saying how great the book is. You know, it's got some cool cameos in it usually. So yeah, it's a good looking book. I really like the art in it, and the writing's great too. So Wonder Twins.
All right, Chris. Like you just told me, this is a good looking book.
Good looking book.
It's Wonder Twins number four from Wonder Comics, and it's at your local comic book shop.
All right. Next up, we have, we'll go to the Marvel, and I got a couple of odd ones this week, but we'll go to the Marvel first here. Here's a book that I didn't think was going to keep going, but it's still going strong.
Which one's that?
Spider-Man and Deadpool. It's actually a book that I thought would be done. I thought it'd be done by now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this could be it looks like it might be the last issue, but I thought it would have been finished like 20 issues ago. But it looks like it could be the last issue. You never know, right? You never know what's going to happen. What's that?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You ever hear the term too many cooks in the kitchen?
Yes.
You ever hear the term synergies?
Synergies, yes, absolutely.
Yes. So
where the greater the sort of the
sum of the parts
is
bigger than the sum of the parts.
the
well,
whole.
Well, if this part is two and that part is two, you put them together, you get more than four.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
I always thought that these guys don't belong together.
I agree.
Because they're the same.
They're too much of the same, yeah.
But not the same, but kind of too much of the same.
That is the last issue, by the way. So,
right, okay. So I never thought, because they're both hams.
Yeah.
They both kind of look the same.
Yep,
They both got the same kind of
banter,
physical features
and banter,
I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Like, put him with the Hulk.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or put him with some, you know, fuddy-duddy, like,
Captain America.
Yeah,
or
Captain America or something like that, right? But, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I totally get it.
There's a sensory overload with them just trading jives.
Absolutely.
Back and forth
too much of a good thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris and I really want you to pick up.
You should go and pick it up.
Deadpool, Spider-Man Deadpool number 50. At your local comic book shop.
Okay, so I want to talk about this later in the show, but one of the books that we're going to talk about is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Up to issue number 16. Now, Sonic's been around for a long time. Old Sega character.
Mm-hmm.
And has had many incarnations of comics, and currently this is under IDW, and it's issue number 16, and it seems to still be going strong. And there is a movie coming out later on. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Ask a question.
Ask me.
So you know how comics, you play video games, right?
Once in a while.
Okay. You know how comics, you read in Batman, and you kind of pass that love on for some reason, I don't know how, to your kids?
Yep.
You know, because you bring them home and then you let them read it and stuff like that.
Yep.
I'm wondering, so because video game properties are now intergenerational.
Yes.
Kong, Mario, Sonic.
Yeah.
These things are 30, 40 years old.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Like, are they passed down from parent to kid, or does the kid discover it on his own?
I think it's a little bit of both, because there is new incarnations of each. Like, there's always been some sort of Mario type thing going on, right?
Right. But why has it succeeded in going on from two generations? Basically, when did Mario come out? Early 80s?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So you're looking at a 12-year-old in early 80s playing.
Yeah.
And then a 12-year-old in the early 2000s playing.
Yeah.
And then a 12. Yep. So it's almost into the third generation now.
Well, they've become properties now, like you said earlier. Like, it's like Spider-Man. Like,
but there's no guarantee. You know, Flintstones was a thing. There's no guarantee that the next wave will like it.
No, but they have to keep on updating it and making it, you know, for that generation, which I think Nintendo has done a great job at.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, Atari didn't do that. Atari... Mm-hmm. Atari failed for a number of reasons after a while because it didn't fail, but it's a huge success, but it eventually failed because basically everybody had one of those Atari consoles and they couldn't sell anymore, but they didn't constantly keep updating their versions. They didn't come up with another Atari console after that.
Right.
Right. Where it's just Nintendo has been doing that.
Well, Sonic is definitely one of these characters that, has a really a big youth following. There's a lot of kids love Sonic,
which
is a good thing because their parents love Sonic.
And it's a timeless character too, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't deal with politics or anything like that, or you know, it isn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Politics.
Sonic
the Hedgehog number 16 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And finally, we've got, here's a book that I was not expecting to see on the newsstands at all.
Really?
Jungle Comics.
Jungle Comics.
Jungle Comics.
Jungle Comics.
It looks, it has the same logo, I'll call it, or title, as the old Jungle Comics from Fiction House.
Right.
And it's being published by Antarctic Press. This is a number one. Written by Chuck Dixon, the longtime, you know, Batman.
Chuck Dixon.
Longtime Batman scribe.
Yep.
So lots of stuff going on with this. And I'm just surprised to see it. There's a backup story that has a little more of a manga, you know, usual type Antarctic fare that you would expect. But, the first, 25 pages or whatever it is, it looks great.
Fantastic. You know the problem, unfortunately, with... Jungle, Jumbo, all that kind of, the Sheena, the Shanna, whatever.
Yep.
You got to group Tarzan into that because that was probably the first of them. you know, it reeks of that colonialism.
Right.
It's wrong.
Right,
right?
Yes.
I mean, it's in a sense, it's the European lost in sub-Saharan.
Right, right.
And then, you know, becoming...
Sub-Saharan. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Becoming, you know, the master of the domain.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm just puzzled why they would even try to get out of Jungle Comics again.
Well,
because it reeks of that colonialism.
You're right, you're right. But maybe, maybe they can turn it around and maybe it can be something different. Who knows?
No. You know what? You'd have to go into your local comic book shop, pick up Jungle Comics number one.
Exactly.
And find out for yourself.
Nice. All right, listen. Normally, this would be the time where we would have some music, but there's no music today.
Oh, we had music. We had Jungle Comics.
Oh, Jungle Comics. Jungle Comics. Yeah. All right, there we go. Good enough.
Right,
what are we going to talk about first here, Walt?
Well, we have to go into industry news, Chris. And industry news is brought to us by a returning sponsor.
Oh, I like that.
They really like us this week.
Do they?
And you know what? The feelings are mutual. Because we really like Sexton Single Malt Irish Club Soda.
Yeah, it is a good, it is a very good club soda.
It's a fantastic club soda, and we appreciate them supporting the show.
Yep.
Because, you know, to be honest, sometimes we couldn't get through the show without.
Well, Sexton, that is very true. Yeah, that is very, very true.
All right, Chris, where do you want to go first?
Well, you know what? Do we want to go with?
Well, let's talk about Free Comic Book.
Yeah, let's do that first.
Chris, at our shop, had probably, we're going to say, it was rainy.
Yeah.
It was like 12 degrees for our American friends. That's about like 55.
Yep, yep.
So it was miserable.
Right.
For a May day.
For a May day.
But
it was May the 4th.
But it was May the 4th. It was Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day and Star Wars Day. And we probably had the second best Free Comic Book Day we've ever had.
Really?
In terms of people through the door,
yeah.
Just the vibe, the energy in the thing. It was just, I don't know how else to put it other than reinvigorating.
Nice. That's
just fantastic.
Yep.
People
yep.
coming in, really just enjoying themselves.
Nice. Now, was there, I unfortunately did not get a chance to make it.
I didn't notice.
Oh, well, that's hurtful, but, I didn't. So was there any one particular book that that you noticed was flying off the shelf more than
ever? We only ran out of one. So I told the guys, hey, let's try to see this one right through.
Yep.
So Dylan, who's their mastermind at our shop, he did a fantastic job. We only ran out of one book.
Oh, and what was that?
It was Spawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he ordered pretty heavy on it.
Wow, interesting.
So everybody was going to Spawn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So, obviously, Avengers, we ordered the most of that.
Sure.
And that's the one that everybody took the most.
Right.
So we have at our shop, we have, you buy, get four, you bring a library card, you get six, or you bring a food perishable, non-perishable.
A donation.
You get six, or... you bring, you come in a cosplay.
Nice, right?
So, you know, most people were taking six comics each.
Yep, yep. So there was a lot of cosplayers?
There, I would say there were more, I'd say the library card was the number one.
Yep.
Food donations were number two. Cosplayers number three.
Okay, yeah.
Cosplayers, especially kids. On the kids' side, there was a lot of cosplayers.
Yeah.
Adults, I would say maybe there's about six or eight.
What did you dress up as?
Cosplayers. I dressed up as the comic shop guy.
Oh, yeah,
That, what show?
Simpsons?
Simpsons. So I ate a few pizzas the night before.
Yeah.
And I didn't wash my shirt.
Good for you.
So I pulled it off. I thought pretty good.
Comb the sweet tarts out of your beard?
See, I didn't even wash. I should have read more.
That's a line from... Anyway. But it was good.
It was fantastic. It was great. Our shop in Niagara Falls had a great time. The shop up in Barrie had a great time.
Now, did you guys have, like, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because I just didn't get a chance to go, so I don't know. Did you have any artists or writers or food or anything like that?
We had artists. We had two artists out in the tent.
Okay.
Famous artists that they didn't want their names mentioned.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And we had the Hamilton Public Library.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Giving out emergency library cards.
Emergency
so,
library cards.
So people can get those two extra comics.
Little piece of paper that
that's right.
had
it's
library
like,
written on
did
it.
You get your library card? No. Hey, library, they're outside. They're giving them away. You get two extra ones. Okay, they all write out. And then we had some bar. We had a coloring center.
Nice. I think they had a bar.
No, we had a bargain.
The comics
out in the tent. So yeah, basically we had that. We had the 501st here for Star Wars. Nice. We had who do we have? We have Stormtrooper.
Yep.
Those are those guys in the white plastic.
Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Stormtrooper.
Oh, Stormtrooper.
His name isn't like Stormtrooper.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Mr. Trooper. First name Storm. Hey,
but is your first name Storm? That's such a cool name. Did your mom give you that?
Call me Stormy Trooper.
It was a stormy night. Reminds me of that old joke, you know. Where, that,
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
And then we had what's the little guy with the eyes?
Yoda.
No, with the glowing eyes. Little guy with the glowing eyes. He's got that.
Grover.
No, Grover. That's a good one. I like that one. Star Wars. They're little scavengers.
Jawas.
Jawas. Yeah, that's who they were. Yeah. We had a little Jawa.
Oh, nice, there. Nice. Yeah.
That's good. I had to watch him because they put stuff under their
up their kilt.
Up their kilt.
Or
so
cloak, I should say.
Yeah. So that was good.
Nice.
They were here. We had a Leia.
Nice.
And a Skywalker.
Oh, very nice.
That was a husband and wife team.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic. So, yeah. And we had, I always enjoy, we had a magician.
Oh, nice.
So our magician, he just goes around. And if there's a little bit of a lineup here, lineup there.
Do some card tricks.
Group, he just does magic stuff. And everybody was just loving it.
Nice.
We had a great
nice.
Time. And so anytime I'd catch him with new people, I always do the same joke. I'd do the same joke about 15 times. You go, watch your wallet.
So, he was probably hoping that you'd disappear.
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, by then, by about the third one in, he's like, you know. Yeah. If he had that big hook. I think we're doing two different songs.
That's all right. That's all right.
So it was fantastic. So it was a successful free comic
good.
Day. We look
good.
Forward
very
to
it. Very good. Very good. Awesome. That's great to hear. Of course, I know they tried to do free comic book days in around Halloween
mm-hmm.
as well, but never really quite took off for some reason.
Which seemed would be more indicative to the free
comic. You'd think, right? But yeah.
Oh well.
So if you missed this one, you have to wait till next May.
Yes.
All right. Listen, let's have a look at what we're going to talk about next. Let's go to what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about alcoholic X-Men, or do you want to talk about donation of comics?
Well, Chris, this is a non-alcohol. We just strictly club soda on this show.
Right.
So let's do donation of comics.
All right. So $2.5 million worth of comic books has been donated to the University of South Carolina.
Whoa.
$2.5 million, roughly 180,000 comic books have been donated. 180,000.
Jeez.
You know, at one point in my collecting bug years, I owned about 15,000 comic books,
uh-huh.
and that was plenty.
You had to get a storage
locker. I used to have to get a storage locker for it, yeah.
Wow.
So that's like not even a tenth
I know.
Of what this guy has.
I know.
That's crazy.
That's almost 200 long boxes.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 1,000.
1,000.
Because you can fit almost roughly around 200 comics with bags and boards in a long box. So 200,000, 180,000.
That's crazy.
That is just nuts.
So apparently this guy, Gary Watson, he was a nurse in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
Started collecting comics in 1958.
Whoa.
With Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to donate them. So he basically, a couple of guys, actually science fiction illustrator Chris Foss and another comic book store owner, were asked to help out, and they basically looked through hundreds and hundreds and almost 1,000 boxes probably, and basically they've valued it at roughly $2.5 million.
Jesus.
So this collection included first appearances and first issues of pretty much everything. Avengers, Justice League, X-Men, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Hulk, Brave and the Bold.
Well, if he started collecting in 58,
yeah,
then he would have just come online. The only big key he would have missed, it would have had the retro, would have been Showcase 4, which came out in 56.
Right.
But, you know, the first Brave and the Bold, I think, came out in 58. And then, you know, the first Green Lantern in Showcase 22 came out like 58, 50, whatever. And then you're looking at Of course, all the Marvel Revolution of the early 60s,
yep,
Fantastic
all that
Four
stuff.
In 61, the Hulk and Spidey in 62, mm-hmm. the Avengers, yep. and you know, X-Men in 63.
Well, it says
got all of those.
It says here that he apparently did go back, because apparently there was some Golden Age comics from the 1930s.
Oh, nice.
As well as you know, Mutt and Jeff books from like the well, it would be probably from like the 1920s.
Yeah, it must have been so crazy, Chris, collecting in the 60s and
yeah.
in the 70s. I was talking to a gentleman who was at the shop the other day. His name was Jay. And he goes, yeah, I started collecting in 68.
68.
And he goes, I remember going to Captain George Henderson. Mm. Captain George was the
up
first.
In, now and then.
Yeah.
Oh, Toronto, sorry.
Toronto. Harry Kramer was now and then.
Right.
Yeah. So Captain George, I think, was the first comic shop in Canada.
Wow.
And he was down, you know, down kind of on Queen Street in Toronto there. He remembers this. It was funny. He was telling the story of one day he went into the shop and Captain George was bragging. It was maybe 1969,
yeah,
maybe whatever.
Yeah.
He goes, I just sold an Action One for $400.
No kidding.
People are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he
yeah.
was telling me the story about him just gloating
yeah.
over the fact that he just sold a comic
for $400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy.
It just happened to be an Action
well,
One.
Well, you know, one I think what one of these days, I think we need to go back and
how far you want to go back?
Well, you know, I was cleaning up my man den the other day, and I found I don't know
well,
why.
I don't even want to know
well,
what you found.
I don't know why we hold on to them as collectors, but I found a bunch of old price guides.
Uh-huh.
Why do we keep
yeah,
them?
I know.
They're not used.
Why do we keep anything?
I know, true enough. But I think it'd be a great experiment one of these days to take, you know, the most recent price guide
right.
and take one from 20 years ago.
Well, not even 20, about 45. Like one in 1970. You remember the one with Porky Pig on it, 1976
yeah.
or 75 or 77? Be interested to go
yeah.
back to that.
Well, I mean, I don't have one from those
yeah.
that era, but I'll go on my earliest one.
Right.
Probably from like the early 1980s or something
uh-huh.
like that.
Yeah.
And just kind of see what the prices were like then, and what you could see what the hot books were. I remember
I
one
know.
Of the hot books back then was always Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's yeah. not even close.
I know. Wow! Wow! Wow!
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Richie Rich.
So.
But so what's this going to be? Is this going to be like on public display?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think they know yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be some that are going to be on display. It says here some of the most notable comics will be on display at the college's library, but they can't possibly display 180,000 comic books, right? Like
no, they can't.
Like,
well, I bet you they'll display.
You need
like
a warehouse.
Top 50 key
yeah.
issues, first appearances, and stuff like that.
But I still, you know, as much as I think this is an awesome gut thing that this guy's done, because really, if you had $2.5 million worth of comic books,
I know.
Would you decide I'm going to donate it?
I know.
Right,
I know.
Like that's a huge
obviously,
donation.
Obviously, he's a gentleman. If he's probably born in the 40s.
Yeah.
So you know he's retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's probably. Had a long nursing career. He's probably been, you know, intelligent with his money.
Yeah.
And he's probably comfortable. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He probably has a comfortable retirement. Yeah, sure. He can, on paper, those things are worth $2.5 million, probably because of the volume of stuff, Chris. I'm thinking a lot of those books are assigned a $10 value.
Sure.
You know, you might not get 50 cents for those.
Right,
things, right,
right. right.
Whereas, but you know, there's $1 million there, easy.
Easy.
So it's not like he's just giving away nothing.
No, that's
he's
right.
He's giving away a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I don't know, maybe he just.
Well, he probably loves it. Loves
yeah,
it.
It's been so good to him. He
yeah.
doesn't want to sell it. He wants, you know, the community to enjoy it.
Well, and I think one of the comments here, and it says English professor Mark Minnett teaches comics courses on comic books. It says that it'd be nice to see the historical basis for what some of these properties came from,
yep.
As well as what you know comic books looked like in the 1960s, which
fantastic.
I think is fantastic, right? You know, it's.
Can you imagine, Chris? Can you check this out? So it's South Carolina.
That's right. Yeah.
Library in South Carolina, whatever, and you know, there's a librarian working there.
Yeah.
Couple dealers roll up.
Yeah.
Hey, psst. Hey, slide. That Brave and Bold 28 in the back there.
Yeah.
I'll slip you $2,000. You know, conveniently lose that one.
I can't seem to find it.
Yeah. I don't know what the cataloging. Our Dewey Decimal System isn't working. But yeah, no, that's crazy. Cool. Kudos crazy. To this person. What's his name?
Gary Watson.
Gary Watson, kudos to you, my friend, for feeding the beast and letting a lot more people enjoy the comics than normally would.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right,
Chris. Now, I have funny. I was talking with a buddy about the Avengers, the movie.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So it's cracked 2.2 billion internationally. It's past the Titanic. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's gangbusters and blockbusters and whatever.
Everything.
Busters. Yeah. Hold on here. I'm looking for the notes that he gave me.
Yeah.
And I can't seem to find them.
Oh dear.
Oh, here they are.
Did you get them? Okay.
Yeah, I did. So So we were going, yeah, it's like just everything is working for comics.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Everything is working for comics, you know, like TV and video games and everything. And we're just like riffing.
Yeah.
And we're going, but you know what's not working for comics?
What's that?
Comedy and comics.
Well, that is true.
Right? So we go, well, why is that? So we go, well, let's, so he goes, no, it should be working. So he emailed me yesterday.
Oh.
Some comic book jokes.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to try them. I told them. All right. It would be like stand-up comedy.
Now, this is like a family show. I don't want to hear
Yeah. Family show.
Okay.
Kind of. So his point was not just... his point was like a stand-up... Like a guy going to do stand-up.
Right.
Or a girl going to do stand-up at a club.
Right.
And doing just superhero stuff.
Right.
Maybe they're dressed up as a superhero. Oh. It's like the comic or
something. Oh, okay,
like
yeah.
Like in Watchmen.
Right. The comedian.
The comedian. So I got a few of them. I'm going to try them out.
All right. I'm worried.
I know you got the umbrella thing there.
Yeah, I got the hook.
The hook, yeah. Sorry, did I call it the umbrella?
That's all
right.
ESL.
So first one is... Joker goes to the psychiatrist.
Okay.
And he goes, Doc, I think there's something wrong with me.
All right.
Doc goes, well, we'll figure this out. Don't worry. So the doc does one of those visual tests.
Right.
And on a piece of paper draws a circle.
Right.
And he goes, Joker, what do you see? And the Joker goes, well, Batman. And Doc goes, all right. And then he takes another piece of paper and he draws a triangle.
Right.
And he goes, well, Joker, what do you see now? He goes, well, Batman again, duh, but just upside down.
Right.
Right. And he goes, Joker goes, all right, one more, sir. And he draws a large rectangle.
Okay.
And he goes, well, what do you see now? He goes, well, two Batman. So the psychiatrist takes the clip to cover to his pen and he closes it and he goes, sir, I can safely say that you have an obsession with Batman.
Yeah.
And the Joker looks at him and goes, I have an obsession with Batman? Who the hell's drawn the Batman here, me or you?
Oh, sorry.
All right. So that was one. So
okay,
that's pretty good.
Was that your best one?
Yeah. I had to start strong.
I'm okay. It's good.
Then I can fizzle.
Ooh, all right. Yep, keep going.
So Ant-Man just got into a huge fight.
Yeah.
Massive fight. He broken bones everywhere. He's laid up in traction.
Ant-Man. Okay.
He's laid up in traction in the hospital.
Okay.
So the Wasp comes to visit him. And the Wasp gets there and she goes, oh, sweetheart. Oh, I'm sorry to hear you. That's the wasp calling.
That's the call-in.
Saying, right,
please stop this.
Please stop. End it now.
Hold on.
We're actually at a call center.
Right.
So
helpline.
The Wasp goes, oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry to see you all broken like this, but I got to tell you a story of a. So I, you know, I'm coming here to visit you, and I get into a taxi,
right?
And we start driving, and I realize I forgot my purse.
Okay.
And we're driving and trying. I go, oh my God, Mr. Taxi Driver, I forgot my purse. We got to go back. And the taxi driver says, no, ma'am, don't worry. We'll settle this account one way or another.
Okay.
And so he keeps driving, and all of a sudden he turns in behind this building in an alleyway.
Right.
And he turns back to me and he says, well, ma'am, since you forgot your purse, we have to settle this account. Either you're going to have sex with me right now.
Right.
Or sing me a song.
Right.
So Ant-Man's all like laid up in traction and he goes, my goodness. What a son of a... So what song did you sing him? And Wasp goes, well, sweetheart, with you all banged up like that, you think I could bring myself to sing?
Oh, boy. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, all right, I got one more.
One more. Okay, all right. More.
See, this is probably why superheroes in comedy.
Probably.
This is
a
good
yeah,
example. This is an excellent
good.
Lesson.
For yep.
So the Hulk, and you know, the Hulk, right? He's not exactly the brightest knife on the tree. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he's sitting there, and nobody can find the Hulk, and all of a sudden Hawkeye pops into his apartment, and there's the Hulk doing a puzzle.
Right.
You know,
okay.
He's doing a puzzle, and he's all concentrating. And Hawkeye goes, Hulk, where the heck have you been? I've been looking for you the last 6 months. Nobody can find you. He goes, oh, Hulk, do puzzle.
Right.
Hulk, work hard 6 months.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye goes, yeah, what's the big deal, Hulk? You're sick. You're doing a puzzle.
Goes, yeah.
But look at Box. Box says 3 to 6 years. Hulk, do it in 6 months.
That's your best one. That was a good one.
Hey-o.
That was good.
All right. Anyway,
good.
So that's...
I don't know what that has to do with the Avengers movie, but sure.
That's just the example of superheroes in comedy. Don't really
okay,
that
yeah,
well.
Yeah. That's,
all right. But the Avengers movie, Chris. That was just a segue.
Oh, okay.
That was just a segue into the Avengers.
You know, the Avengers did $2.2 billion.
It did.
But
was there any comedy?
Let me tell you some jokes. <What's> the...
But, you know... There are smoother ways to work a bit in.
No, that was seamless, Walt. Absolutely seamless. That was great.
Thanks, Chum.
Great job.
Was there any comedy in the Avengers?
I'm not going to tell you.
Not as much as there was
no,
right here.
No, not nearly as much. Yeah.
No, but 2.2, it's on its way. It's on its way to shattering every single thing that
yes.
ever existed.
Well, listen, while we're talking about the Avengers Endgame.
And I will go see it.
I believe you. Joe Russo has basically said, you know what, Joe and
Renee?
No.
Phil Negro?
No, Anthony Russo.
Anthony Russo.
They're the directors. They basically come on and said, you know what, we were asking for that total, you know, ban on spoilers. So now if you're going to spoil it, go ahead. It's fine.
Right.
You know, so.
So they've lifted the spoiler ban.
Lifted the spoiler ban. Right.
So you and I can go to town today.
If we wanted to, we could.
Right.
I don't want to. Not yet.
It's not us.
No.
No. We support the comic.
So the only thing, we are going to have one spoiler. And it's something that we touched on last week. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So
no,
we touched. What?
Sorry, you just reminded me of something. I read something yesterday about the new Spider-Man
trailer. Yes, it is.
Where they go, do not watch this trailer.
Yes, I've seen that.
If
so,
you want to go see the Avengers.
Tom Holland comes on the screen at the beginning of the trailer and says, do not watch this trailer if you have not seen Endgame.
Endgame.
If you have seen it, enjoy. If you haven't, you're going to see stuff you're not going to want to see.
You're not going to want to see. Fantastic.
So, having said all that, one spoiler. Last week I mentioned that there was no end scenes, no Easter eggs.
No Easter eggs.
At the end of the credits.
Right.
And I wasn't wrong. There are no scenes.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert.
Beep, beep, boop, boop.
There is, however, a sound.
A sound.
Which you can hear the sound of metal clanging.
Whoa.
Metal clanging.
Like a West Indies drum?
No. More like a hammering of metal kind of thing.
Like a forge,
like something
Thor
like that.
Doing his hammer.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
So basically, the question was posed to Joe Russo, and it says, "Were there some metal smashing sounds when the movie ended? Was that an Easter egg? Was it a tribute to Iron Man, or was it an implication that Iron Man will return?" And Joe Russo just said, "It was our way to say goodbye to him." So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think he just made that up.
I'm just telling you what he says here.
Yeah, he was caught in a corner and he just made that. But tomorrow when the next guy interviews him, it's going to be something else.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's just going to be, oh, yeah, that's Galactus sharpening his skates. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Anyway, so the Endgame is doing very well still. You know, it's going to make a bazillion dollars. So, you know, kudos to them.
All right. All right, Chris. So, we've helped Endgame enough.
We have helped Endgame enough. I agree.
So let's
Let's go on to let's talk about Dark Phoenix beer.
Sure.
Dark Phoenix beer. So Chris Claremont, who is a world-renowned writer of X-Men comics and other comics as well, but he's mainly known for his run on the X-Men that started in the 70s and went on to the 80s and reached its peak, I would say, in the 90s. And he helped co-create and write Dark Phoenix with John Byrne, and he had all kinds of characters that he's created that have been made into movies now. He's a great writer, but apparently he was wandering around Las Vegas.
As people are wont to do.
As people are wont to do. And basically, he comes across an ad for Dark Phoenix beer. Dark Phoenix beer. Dark Phoenix is that movie that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, based on the Dark Phoenix saga from the X-Men storyline. Basically, it's Space Camper has teamed up with the X-Men to celebrate the release of Dark Phoenix, and they have released their Dark Phoenix beer. So there you go. I just think it's interesting that we've now come to a point in comic book pop culture where it's okay to have, like, comic book character alcohol.
Wow. So, Chris, this is what you're telling me.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
This is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Dark Phoenix beer
yes.
has broken the taboo of alcohol in comics.
You could say that there it had already been done.
With Tony Stark?
Well, that's the other way.
Right.
They've
had
alcohol in
anti-alcohol.
Movies. Yeah.
Right.
Well, in movies.
Yeah.
But you could say that there is a Highland Park.
Ooh,
that does
right.
They do like a Vikings and
yeah, but that's
Thor.
Viking. Nah,
maybe Thor.
Norse mythology. This is pure comic.
Pure comic books. Okay. I've never seen this before in pure comic books.
So you know what that means, though, right?
What does that mean?
Well, soon they're going to have to try to work it into the other vices, gambling and prostitution.
Nice. Yeah. Well, yeah. It might already be there in prostitution. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you know what? Those catalogs down in I'm sure there's a costume section.
I'm sure there is.
I see. So gambling.
Gambling and but who knows? It doesn't have to start with gambling. It can be going to other vices. Cigarettes.
That's fantastic.
But yeah.
You know what? And like you say, we've come a long way, baby.
Well, okay. So, and on top of that. There's a guy named Anthony DeCido. Anthony DeCido. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But he has written, presented, and directed a new feature-length documentary called My Comic Shop Country. So, once again, comics are coming to the forefront about, and now he's gone across the United States and interviewed people from comic book shops.
Right.
And basically he's saying, like, how is it that comic book pop culture is doing so well,
but the shops aren't? Right.
Right?
I told you before why.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, because.
Because why?
There's not enough?
You could. You know, I think you should expand on that.
Okay, fair. I might as well. What the heck?
Okay.
Always asking for more.
Yeah, I know.
Comic shops, I'm going to pick a number.
Okay.
Let's say there's 2,800 of them.
Sure.
Across North America.
Sure.
They're run by 2,800 of the most ragtag vagabonds in the history of retailing.
Yeah.
These ragtag vagabonds are self-righteous know-it-alls, and I include myself proudly among them. But the point is, we can't organize, we can't do anything together, we can't build an industry. You cannot build an industry with 2,800 individuals.
Right. No, you can't.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You cannot build a united front. There have been people trying.
Well,
there's a coalition here and a coalition there of like-minded shops, but it's always too little, too late.
2,800 individuals, you should be able to... That's a lot of people. You should be able to.
You can't get them together. Nobody listens to anybody.
Well, that's the problem.
Right.
That's it's not the fact that it's not the volume. It's the fact that there's just like. You know, not...
But you know, it's energy, Chris. People are
right.
Living, people are living week to week. People are living. They're stuck behind the counter. Yep. They're exhausted by the end of the day. They can't. They don't have time to get together and share emails and have meetings on how to move that the USS comic shop forward
as a
collective unit.
Yep, you're right.
And make collective decisions and put pressure on Marvel and put pressure on DC and put pressure on the other companies and put pressure on who knows what to better the experience for even, you know, the regular customers.
It seems sad that there's all these people that, you know, in the comic book industry. So you get these writers and directors and publishers and moguls and producers and all these people that are making tons of money on all this stuff.
Right.
But the people that aren't making the money are the people that are actually trying to sell it.
That's
sell
right.
the original content.
That's right.
Now, I mean, okay, you could say that the writers and the artists aren't making money as well, but some of them are. Some of them are making some money at it,
yep.
making a living at it,
mm-hmm.
far better than some comic book shop retailers are making.
Right.
Right? So, you know, it's...
that's why what we're doing with our shop, we're going to start a Donate to Me fundraiser. Oh, I'll start it here on this radio
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah?
So if you want to just send stuff across.
What would you like to have? Like money or...
Club soda.
Or club soda? Okay, clubs, yeah.
For now.
For now.
Yeah. Just to get me through. Take the edge off.
Well, so there you go.
Hey, all Chris, right. Speaking of taking the edge off,
yeah.
I got a cool little tidbit of news.
Tidbit.
So you've been following it. You've been a supporter of it. I thank you. So I'm doing that Covered 365.
Yes. So that's it. So for those of you that aren't in the know, if this is a series, a daily series that Walt's been doing, where basically he chooses a cover that he likes based on the numerical day of the calendar year.
Right.
So for example, if it's day 90 of the calendar year, you're going to choose a issue number 90 from any time frame.
Today is day 128, so if you go to comicbookdaily.com, you will see my pick for day 128.
Right.
Right. So yesterday was day 127, and we got a lot of fans just kind of chime in regularly on their opinions
sure.
and things like that.
And they like to pick their own ideas.
Right, and one of them, one of our supporters is a guy named Chris, and he has a good eye, so he always likes to try to predict the next day.
Right.
Right. And a couple times, you know, I always check. Like I try to do it at a time because I don't want to go every night, right?
Right.
So I try
right.
to do it like a week's
two or three
worth
at a time.
Yeah. And but I always checked that day to see. And so I was kind of combing through what people's selections were. And I go, whoa, you know, Chris did a great 127 pick. He did Dark Horse Presents. And I really liked it more than my pick.
Right.
Right. So I changed it.
Oh, wow.
And so another supporter of the blog is Bud Plant.
Now for most people will not know who he is, uh-huh. but if you're a comic book guy, you'll know that he is a longtime comic book art dealer, wholesaler,
champion
of the comic
champion
book industry.
Champion
of the media. Yep, great guy.
And he chimed in that he knew the artist. The artist is Dan Brereton. Brereton, sorry,
yeah.
I said it wrong.
Sorry. Right.
He goes, hey, he chimes in, hey, I know Dan. And I'm going to forward this to
nice.
Him. This is cool, right? And so, and then a couple hours later, Dan chimes in on the comments. And
oh, really?
He says, hey, you know, the girl I used, the inspiration was my daughter.
Oh,
And she kind of had the moniker Halloween Girl.
Nice,
So that was, and I go, wow, this is the first time it's happened this year.
That's amazing.
During this blog that sequence of events happened. And
awesome.
I just found it cool.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know what? So I've met Dan Brereton a couple times.
Right.
He's a great, great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing but good things to say about him. It's been a long time since I've seen him at a convention.
Right.
But he's the kind of guy, I asked him to do a sketch for me. And I had my sketchbook. He did the sketch. And then, you know, I left and I came back to go pick it up. And he looked at it going, he said, you know what? I don't like this one. I'm going to do another one. He just did another sketch. Didn't charge me anything extra. Just did it. And he did a second sketch for me in the same book.
That is fantastic.
That's awesome. And then I met him another time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
he said, hey, remember that second sketch I did for
no,
you?
No.
I need $50.
I was doing this series of sketches. I can't remember what it was now. But So he was kind of like coloring a little bit, and then I was just standing there, and we were chatting, and he turned the book, and he goes, "Now you put some color in it." And so I did some coloring on the sketch for him.
Then
he took it back, and he did some more coloring.
Right.
It was awesome.
So you participated
in my own sketch from him, yes. It was a great experience, you know.
I cannot tell you how cool that is.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Great guy. I have nothing but great things to say about him. Even in the fact that his art is fantastic and the great guy to boot, he's awesome.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, Chris, let's move the show along because we don't have Muzak. So let's keep going.
We've had a lot of great talks today. We've been very upbeat, but we do have to talk about one sad moment that has happened since the last time we were on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, unfortunately, we have the passing of Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, passed away last week at the age of 74. At the time when George Lucas was, and this is anecdotal, I don't know the exact story, but I remember at the time hearing a story of how when George Lucas was looking for someone to play his Chewbacca, he was looking for someone tall who could act. But he basically, tried to find, just a really, lovable kind of guy, right?
Right. And so that's right, right, right. That's what Chewbacca is.
Right?
It has come through that costume.
Right. And so that's what we got with Peter Mayhew. So yeah, it was unfortunate. The Twitters and all that didn't say anything about how he passed away or why or anything. It just said that he passed away in his home in Texas. So.
That's so sad. I mean, we've seen him at many shows.
Many shows.
And,
yeah.
He's always a great ambassador to Star Wars.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always made fans happy. Was a trooper at those shows too, because those aren't easy to do.
Well, and you got to remember, so he was doing shows like, I'll say 20, 25 years ago. You remember, there was a time when Star Wars was not popular.
Right.
I remember, being at the Chicago Comic Con and just walking up to David Prowse, nobody was by his table. The guy who played Darth Vader, nobody was by his table. Nope. Same thing with Peter Mayhew. Nobody was there. Nobody cared. Yeah. It was a sad time. And these guys struggled for a while because they had, they had no income, no other, film work kind of thing. So,
you know what the scary part too is? I mean, it's just life in general is the fact that Star Wars is just such an old property now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That the principal actors of that 1977 film are unfortunately starting to pass age related.
So I mean, I know that Carrie Fisher's passed away and Kenny Baker and we have Peter Mayhew now, at least of all the heroes of the show. So I could go on about all the people that have passed away, but it's getting to that age now. I mean, it came out in 1977.
Yeah, 42 years.
42 years ago.
42 years ago. 42 years.
42 years ago.
Now you told me before. Did you see that in 77?
So. I thought I did, but I think what I actually saw, I think I saw the re-release.
Right. So you saw it in 80 when...
No, I think I saw it... they re-released it like a year later.
Oh, 78?
I think I saw it in 78. Because it was so popular at the time and it did so well. I think I probably saw it when I was, that age. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but
fair
enough.
Did you go see Smokey and the Bandit?
No. No, was that at the same time?
78. I
think. Oh, was it? Yeah. No, I would have been too young for that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Too young for that.
Star Wars was better.
Star Wars. Did you see Star Wars in the theater?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
So I remember seeing that in the theater, and I definitely saw. I remember my sister took me to go see Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
In 1980, so that was sort of a really big deal, to get a chance to go see that. But it's
cool. Well, listen. Our condolences to the Mayhew family, and like I said, sad news. But
yes, very sad news.
All right, Chris. What else do we want to tackle? I know we don't have much time.
We don't have a whole lot of time here. I think we should. We think we should really very briefly talk about this whole incidence of the Game of Thrones Starbucks cup.
Oh, I read about that. So I have not been watching Game of Thrones. I don't watch the Game of Thrones.
You should.
I will. So I read this about some, they had a still on the news of this old kind of medieval table and candles and old costumes. And then right in the middle of the table, there's like a plastic lid Starbucks cup.
So in the last episode, I'm not going to try to give too much away here. Mm-hmm. But in the last episode, there is a scene where there's I'm just gonna say a bunch of people. I don't want to give away who it is.
Yep.
A bunch of people sitting around a table and talking, and then there's some other people talking. But if you look closely, there's a character, a very popular character of the series, that has a Starbucks coffee cup in front of them,
right,
with the telltale Starbucks lid, the white big,
yeah,
brimmy red lid there. And it's just interesting that, you know, of all the things to that are supposed to be in this, you know, Westeros.
Now, there are websites, you know how, like, those clickbait websites?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, like, on YouTube and all this kind of stuff, is where people will dissect classic movies.
Right,
and
right.
They'll do really, really, like, oh, did you notice when the camera angle changed, this guy's shirt was undone, and then it, same conversation,
he changed
to that angle, and his shirt was done.
Yeah, yeah.
Or her hair was up, and then 2 seconds later, it's combed the other way.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's a whole industry around catching mistakes.
Sure.
You think this was done on purpose?
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's too slick of
because
a show.
Because it's news, though. It's,
yeah,
it's,
but it is news, but it's too slick of a show. And from what I've heard, they've already gone back and taken it out. So, because you can on demand, you can stream it.
Oh, okay,
it. So
right.
From what I've heard, they've already taken it out. Now, I don't know. I've got no proof to back that up.
Right.
But yeah, somebody took it out. You know, they're Game of Thrones people are trying to be lighthearted about it.
Right.
Basically saying, oh, that looks like a latte cup. I'm sure that person would have ordered a tea.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Stuff like that. And then
Or mead.
You know, or Game of Thrones said, you know, how come nobody ordered the dragon a drink? You know?
Uh-huh.
And then somebody said, well, what does a dragon drink? Anything it wants. Right.
Ta-dum-bump.
Yeah. So, you know, it is funny that, you know, it kind of reminds you that these guys are all human, and as magical and mystical as all this stuff is, it is just a movie.
Yeah, oversights
show,
happen.
Right? Yeah, it happens.
Mistakes happen. And what's great, like you said, what's great is like the whole community is rallying around. There's banter on the internet, and people are talking about it and having fun with it, which is the most important
thing. Right, okay. Right?
Not having to go, oh, you ruined my experience for me.
Well, it is. So
there's some of that
one,
too.
One quick. No. None of that. No,
okay.
None of that.
Mm-hmm.
One quick spoiler for that. Beep, bop, boop. It is sitting in front of Daenerys. So Daenerys is.
Daenerys?
Daenerys Stormborn, who is the Queen of Dragons. She's the one that's the blonde hair and everything. So, but you know how in Starbucks where they write your name on the cup?
Right.
Well, there was a meme that was going around with, because her name is, you know, Daenerys Stormborn, Queen of Dragons, or Mother of Dragons,
uh-huh,
Breaker of Chains, and so they all these titles,
oh,
and basically
right,
filling up the cup name
right,
with all
right,
that stuff. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very
so,
cool.
Very
well,
interesting.
Hey, just adds to the pop culture fodder, Chris.
Absolutely. All right. We have about three or four minutes left here. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog?
We already talked about Sonic.
No, we talked about the comic, but this is... So basically, last week...
I got one more joke. I thought maybe I'd throw another joke
So here. Anyways, last week about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
And I think what's interesting to me about this is the power of media now.
Yeah.
And social media. Basically, there's a Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out.
Yes.
That is animated.
Yes.
And basically, they released a trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been such a pushback on the design of the character and how it looks that the director has now said, we've heard you, we're going back and we're going to redesign it. Because
unbelievable.
So the fans were so upset with the way the character looked that the director is listening to them and basically saying, you know what, I get it, we're going to go back and we're going to fix this.
You know what I say, Chris?
What's that?
Who cares about the fans?
Hey, I wouldn't say that when you own a comic book shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Just saying.
That was the evil Walt again.
From episode
12.
12. The evil that Walt does.
The evil that Walt does.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, I think that's it for today.
So, anyways,
show.
I just thought that was interesting.
I love
you
it.
Know,
I love
social
it.
Media.
And yeah, the power of social media.
Yeah.
But I'm just worried that people just, you know, moan and complain for no reason.
So,
anyway.
Do you have one more joke for me or what?
You know what? I'm going to leave this joke alone because it may be offside. Can I say it if it's offside?
No, probably not.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, just before we go, Con's coming up. Con's coming up.
Oh, we're still on, I think, for doing a live show at the Motor City Comic Con.
That's not this Friday, but next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
So expect, I think they're booking like a big room for us.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
the janitor's room.
I was going to say the basketball court. Yeah. We're wrong. There's a game going on at the same time.
But, yeah, and then the next one, we're doing in our area here, the NagraCon in early June.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then I'll be doing the Montreal Comic Con in early July.
Hey, I heard you might be going to New York.
Yeah, going to New York.
Thanks for letting me know about that.
That's... Well, trying to keep it a secret.
Yeah, you clearly didn't do a very good job.
Obviously, the secret's out. Yeah, and then obviously Fan Expo
sure.
in Toronto at the end of August. So, anyway, that's it for today. Today's show was written, produced, and engineered by Chris Owen. We're always championing the local comic book shop here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. So please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.